We're back. And here we are in the second part of the evening, where we're at the county council candidates. I'm really pleased with the turnout tonight. I'm sorry our room isn't bigger, but this shows the importance of this election this year. Okay, I'm going to review. This is a little different format than what we've gone through, and stay with it. It's going to move very quickly. All questions are unknown to the candidates. The candidates have drawn numbers to determine who goes first. The questions will be asked from a list of prepared questions, and they will go in order, but each question might be answered about four or five times, but not in sequence. So randomly, a question can come up again later for another candidate to offer, but a single candidate doesn't get to answer the same question twice. The candidates have 1 minute to introduce themselves. Then they will have, for each question that gets asked, 1 minute to answer that question. Once again, our timekeepers are right here. So they put away the 1 minute card now, and they just have a 30-second card and a stop card. And then at the end, there will be 1 minute for closing remarks. Any questions? Kind of feels like a relay race, doesn't it? Okay. So number one on the list is Joanne Yukimura. And now I've got to get myself organized, have the right paper where the questions are.
Are we doing an intro first, Rory?
Pardon me?
Are we doing an intro first?
We are. Thank you very much. I knew. See, I was hoping someone would get me going the right direction. I didn't need the questions that quickly.
Well, you have a tough job. So may I?
Go ahead. You may.
Aloha, everyone. Aloha. Thank you for being here tonight. A Princeville resident recently accused me of being a career politician as if it were a bad thing. It is true that social change for the better has been my life's work, but I am proud of my work, not ashamed of it. I have, through 24 years of being mayor and on the council, my accomplishments have either lowered the cost of living or increased the quality of life for our families. Apparently, this person doesn't understand how important affordable housing and public transportation are to the daily lives of our residents, nor does he understand how important it is to citizens like himself who don't need public transportation or affordable housing, because a child being able to do his homework in a safe, comfortable, affordable home where his parents don't have to work three or four jobs is important to everybody, and when that happens, everyone wins.
Thank you. Number two, Mr. DaCosta.
Aloha, Princeville residents. Billy DaCosta, local boy, born and raised in Makaweli to a plantation family. Went away to college in California, paid my own way to school, got a bachelor's degree in economics, supply and demand, and also have a bachelor's degree in education. I've been a teacher for 15 years and work in a private sector for 10. I have a wife, beautiful wife, three boys. We own 10 acres and three homes in Omaha, and I can tell you that my property tax, I have no Disneyland money anymore. So I feel the same pain like you guys. I'm not a typical politician. I bring a fresh vision to the table. I'm an educator. I'm the one of three state environmental educators in Hawaii. Kauai, Big Island, Oahu have one each. I educate kids from Hanalei to Kikaha up in Koke'e, and I teach them about natural resources and environmental sciences. I go to conferences every year so I can bring fresh ideas and fresh information, data, seek curriculum to the keiki up in Koke'e. Kilauea has been a second home to me because when I come out here to your shopping centers or I go to the schools, the kids all refer to me as Uncle Bill. So I don't know if I won your heart as an adult, but I know I won the keiki's heart. Thank you.
Thank you. Number three, Felicia Cowden.
I'm Felicia Cowden, and I have had 30 years up here between Hanalei and Kilauea, a little bit around the area, so this is my home court. Many of you might know me from Hanalei Surf Company or teaching at either Hanalei School, Kilauea School, or with my program, Akamai Learning. I am part of Waipa, volunteer, but my school was there, and then KKCR. And regeneration's a lot of activities up here. I've done everything from all these different school boards, background in engineering. Hanalei Surf Company, I think I already said that one. And then that was my business. Small business is where I really found so much issues that helped me to be part of the and president of the Kauai North Shore Business Council. I've seen a lot of different angles on things. Mostly my experience has been in supporting kind of what Joanne was saying there, the working class family, small business, being able to have a home, being able to take care of your kids. I'm happy to help.
Thank you very much. Number four, Jay Fafaro.
Close to the speaker. Aloha, good evening, everyone. I'm Jay Fafaro. I'm in my hometown, has been my hometown for, and my family's hometown since 1848. I am married to the former Emma Gomes of Wainiha, and in fact, my background includes a resort general manager here in on the island of Kauai, as well as the South Pacific, Tahiti, and Fiji. I find myself doing a lot of volunteer work. I've been president of Habitat for the Humanities for 8 years, treasurer of the Salvation Army. I've formerly served on the Planning Commission. One of the things that I have taken upon myself is to document a lot of history of our island here. And in fact, this is the old stables right here we're at of the Princeville Ranch. But more importantly, it gives me a great sense of stewardship and caring through the visitor industry and my sense of place. So I'm delighted to be here, and I want to thank all of you for being here as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Number five, Gary Hooser.
Good evening. My name is Gary Hooser, and it's an honor and privilege to be here tonight, and it's an honor and privilege to serve on the Kauai County Council. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always great to come out to the North Shore, to come out here, because as we go around the island, you know, you have different senses of different places, and the North Shore has always been a very friendly place to Gary Hooser and to my family. And I came to Kauai in 1980, and much of the time I spent out on the North Shore. I raised my family. We spent summers in Makua Beach. I still look on the audience and see a lot of friends. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to serve, number one, and reinforce in you the power that you have to make change in our community. And basically it's showing up on November 4th, if not earlier, in voting for the candidates of your choice. And I'm here to ask for your vote and your support. I've worked for you for the past 15 years. I was your state senator. I worked for Governor Abercrombie as the director of environmental quality control, and I've been on the council. And again, I thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Number six, Mason Chalk.
Aloha mai kako. Aloha ko ahiahi, mako. Aloha. Mahalo e po maikai, ka ohane, a me ka e kekeiki, a me ka kupuna. Eolomau ka lahui o Halelea. Mahalo for having us. It's a pleasure, a blessing to be here. My name is Mason Chalk, and I wanted to start the evening by sharing my gratitude. My gratitude for everyone at this table, all 14 candidates who have sacrificed their time and effort. I believe that true at their heart, they all want to serve Kauai. And I think that it's a long, hard road for this campaigning, as I've experienced. And so I want to mahalo them for their time and their families and their supporters, the supporters they bring out to come in and help with this effort. I'm a leadership development facilitator. And let me tell you, we really need this in our council. We really need it in our county. And that's what I'm here for. And my time is up.
Thank you. Number seven is Ross Kagawa.
Aloha. Thank you all for having us, you know, tonight. And I'm very honored to be here. And I'm honored to represent you on the Kauai County Council. I thank you, you know, for giving me the chance. And, you know, I'm once again asked for another opportunity. I think there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, I serve with, you know, the best intentions. I try to make Kauai a better place. I'm born and raised here, grew up on the west side, currently teach at Kapaa High School. So a lot of your children know me at the high school. And, you know, I want you to take the time and ask them, you know, what kind of teacher am I? you know, do I push them? And I think you'll like the answers that you hear, because, you know, I give my heart and soul to whatever I do. I go 100%. And, you know, I put the children first. Because for us, you know, we're old already. Our lives are set, but our children need to have a better life. And we need to ensure that Kauai is a place that they can come back, raise their families like we do. Mahalo.
Thank you. Number 8, Arthur Brunn.
Hello, everybody. Arthur Brunn. Born and raised here on Kauai, 42 years old. Born and raised in Kalaheo, then moved to Waimea. I own a house now in Waimea. I have 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls, 1 granddaughter. I'm just looking to bring a fresh point of view, a fresh mind to the council, try to restore our financial stability. We kind of went off track. You know, we need to get that back, work to get it back, to stop taxing people out of their houses, getting them off the street. We just need to work really hard. And through my commitment to community events, helping with baseball, football, bringing the island together, and doing my community service, you know, I ask for your help. My phone number is in the back, 652-7469. You want to talk story, I'll talk story with anybody, and we'll discuss all the issues and what you want to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you. Number 9, Kipukai Kiwali. That's okay. I've compressed them. I'm sorry. Just to confuse the innocent, we had a missing slot.
Aloha. I'm former council member Kipukai Kualii. I was away from the island for several years while I attended Kamehameha and the University of the Pacific. After graduating college, I worked in California and Washington, D.C., before coming home in 2001. My qualifications include over 20 years of experience in government, labor, and nonprofit administration. And whether as an employee or a volunteer organizer, I've worked with other community leaders to bring resources to our people, including an enterprise center in Kekaha and a certified kitchen, nonprofit campground, and solar farm in Anahola. I've worked with many Kauai organizations promoting sustainable agriculture, civil and worker rights, youth and community empowerment, and renewable energy. On the council, I proved myself as a numbers guy, unafraid to ask the tough questions and fight for the best use of your hard-earned tax dollars. I serve the people well and will do so again. Mahalo.
Thank you very much. Number 10, Errol Kanashiro.
Hi, I'm Errol Kanashiro, and I just want to say I'm a product of this island. I was born and raised here. My values, my ethics, they're all instilled here through our teachers, community, friends, family. I was born and raised in Koloa. I went to Kauai High School. I went off to college at Pacific University in Forest Grove, Oregon. I got a degree in business admin with a concentration in accounting. Upon graduating, I stayed in Oregon for 4 years. I worked at a CPA firm. I also earned my CPA. So after 4 years, decided it was time to come home. This is where our family is. This is what a lot of when we grew up, this is what people wanted us to do. They wanted us to experience the world, get our education, and come back. And fortunately for me, I had an opportunity to come back. So I'm happily back here. I work for Grove Farm. I'm heavily involved in the community. I also have a 400-head sheep farm with my dad that we also work on. And I'm just happy to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. Number 11, Tim Bynum. I know, I'm tricky oil. This is a test right off the bat.
Hi, I'm Tim Bynum. I've been your council member for almost 8 years, and it's really been an honor to serve. I'm a marriage family therapist, and 25 years ago, my wife Jenny's here. We decided to raise our children here on Kauai, and we were hanaed by a whole bunch of people. That's what happens in Hawaii. So I'm really pleased to have served, but I'm really concerned right now about the difference between rhetoric and reality. I'm very comforted by that we have a public record, that you can look and see how people actually voted and what they said, when they said it. But it's really hard right now for people on Kauai to get the complexity of the issues. So I really would invite you all to go to timbynum.com and look at some of the detailed analysis on some of the controversial issues we have. This is a tough year for Kauai with lots of change, but it's also unprecedented hope and opportunity are before us. While we're arguing about some really serious issues, there's a bunch of really great things happening in county government as well. Aloha.
Thank you. And finally, number 12 is Mel Raposo.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for being here tonight. And to all your listeners on KKCR, thank you for taking the time to learn a little bit about your candidates. My name is Mel Raposo. Last month, I celebrated my 50th birthday and half a century old. Right after high school, joined the service and got a chance to travel over the United States and some foreign countries. And I learned one thing, that this is the best place on earth. And I'm back home, and I love serving this community. And I'll just say this, you know, you all know my record. You all know I'm the most misunderstood council member ever in the history of Kauai. But when you go back and look at the record, Mr. Bynum talks about the public record. Look at the public record and make your decisions based on that, because it's very easy to sit up here and say what we want to do, what we want to see, what we want to do, but it's the reality is where we were. What did we do when the cards were on the table? And I won't say anymore. I'm looking forward to a great night tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we're ready to start round one. Everybody set for this? Okay, Joanne Yukimura, first question. If you could make two or three changes to the county council to make it more effective, what would the changes be?
Wow, that's a very good question. I think it's about how we solve our problems. And in this past council, we had some actually off-the-record relationship building where we could be honest with each other, not violating the Sunshine Law and talking about issues, but talking about how we relate to each other. And I think we just scratched the surface on that. But if those of you who have been watching our meetings can probably see, and I think Mason alluded to it as a leadership expert, that we could use some leadership training in terms of how we communicate and how we treat each other and how we solve our problems together. So that would be number one. Number two, I think we should have a four-year term for county council. Running every other year is hard to do work.
Thank you. Second question to Billy DaCosta is, if elected to the council, what would be the top two priorities that you would wish to accomplish in your first year?
Well, the biggest thing I would like to do is what I do with the kids up in Kokei. I take the kids from every public school, charter school, private school, and we do a team night bonding where kids come from various backgrounds, and they put their pajamas on, and they roast some marshmallows, and they share a vision and dreams. I tell you what, this council could use a night up in Kokei to roast a marshmallow, share some dreams about Kauai, and come together. Mason Chalk has said a mouthful about leadership, about how we can bring people together. I believe that's the strength I have. I'm not a typical politician. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, but I have heart. I can tell you what I did as a good deed today, driving to Kilauea. I picked up a hitchhiker, a young lady, 24, coming from Texas, and she asked me about the culture of Kauai, and I told her and I shared a little bit with her, and then she offered me some gas money, and I didn't take it. I said, you shared a manawa that I shared with you tonight, and you take it back to your little Kilauea community. That's the kind of person I am. I have a heart. Thank you.
Thank you. Question number three, Felicia Cowden. Are you an advocate for the expansion of the Kauai bus routes and services, and do you support a North Shore shuttle from Princeville to Hanalei and out to KA?
Well, everything is qualified, right? I'm definitely an advocate for the bus. And right now, my understanding is about $6 of every ticket, $6 for $2 is the subsidization. So we have to be very careful about what is effective and what is maybe could be managed almost with the private sector. Like what I've seen with the the North Shore Shuttle, I know that there's some stress over that, that it's giving a little bit of a benefit to one group and not to another, but we definitely need to work on being creative in ways that aren't binding financially for the county for a long time, of how we can reduce the traffic pressure on the roads and the parking. So I'm open for the discussion. Do I think buses are important? Absolutely. Do I think it's important that we don't overspend? Absolutely. Is there a balance? Yes, I believe there is. Is the bus something worthy of subsidizing? Yes, but we have to make sure not out of control. I can answer a lot more, but thank you.
Thank you. Number four, Jay Fafaro. And that's, everyone talks about needing change and not being happy with the way things are today. What do you think is currently working well for us?
Well, first of all, I went to a costume contest last night, and I dressed as an NFL referee. But what has changed for us is the fact that if you come into the council building, and the reference that Joanne made earlier, we did agree on a set of values of mutual respect. And it's very challenging to be talking about hard issues for us because there's a lot of passion at this council. It's challenging to facilitate all of the outcomes and use the referee system of calling a recess once in a while. But I have to tell you, good decisions do come out of having a variation of decisions that are of different opinions, and just to continue to express that at the council is extremely important. That is working for us, and I have to say also the fact that we have people that have a very broad background. We have hoteliers, we have social workers. Thank you very much.
Number five, Gary Hooser. Do you support the military's present at PMRF, Barking Sands? If yes, what will you do to ensure that it's a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why.
Yes, yeah, so I find it interesting. We get this question at every forum, and really it's the council doesn't have a whole lot to do with PMRF. Of course, I support a strong defense. I came to Hawaii. My father was a career Navy man. I was stationed in Pearl Harbor, and that's I grew up on military bases. But, you know, I think it's I'd like to focus on protecting our community and let the military focus on protecting us from global threats. And I really think that's our job as a council. I was online the other day, and a fellow posted something, and I only read the first part, but it struck me, and I want to share that with you. He said, Gary, I couldn't sleep last night. He said, I was worried about my children and their children and my grandchildren and their children. And I'm worried about the future that they have on our island and worried about the environment, worried about their education, worried about their jobs. And that struck me very deeply. And I feel that that's my responsibility as a council member, and it's your responsibility, too, to work on these issues. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Number six, Mason Chuck. What do you see as the biggest issue harming Kauai's economy?
I believe one of the biggest things that's harming our economy is that we don't have a budget plan. You know, we've circled around what we should be investing in. We've got too many priorities. We really need to focus in on what's most important and have the discussion about what's most important. It starts with our values, and Jeff Afaro talked about it, but I'm talking about really getting crystal clear about what it is this council will focus on and spending all our time and effort on it. To prioritize what that is to come first should be our responsibility and main goal. But I do think that plan will come in handy and that we should support that development of that so that we can clearly work alongside with our administration to see its goals and outcomes come to fruition.
Thank you. Number 10, Ross Kagawa. Excuse me, that's number 7, Ross Kakawa, but the question is number 10. Too many numbers here. Hawaii Dairy Farms is moving ahead with a dairy on the Kalaua Plain. The farm will potentially include up to 1,800 dairy cattle. Community and businesses have expressed concerns regarding the odor, contamination of the groundwater and shoreline waters, and the effect that these issues will have on the hospitality industry, which has over 2,200 units and employs more than 1,500 people just 2 miles downwind and downstream. What is your position on the dairy? And what will you do to ensure the community concerns are addressed?
Well, you know, I think that question is going to be answered by the courts, apparently. Apparently, the group is suing. And we'll wait to what the judge says about all of this. And you know, before we jump the gun, I guess. But, you know, my initial thoughts on this is that, you know, before the Hyatt was there, I think the community, local community there, was against probably the Hyatt being built there and you know, developing that beautiful piece of land that I used to surf back in the, you know, 60s, I mean, the 70s. But, you know, I mean, so one could say that, you know, the Hyatt is complaining about the dairy, but I think a lot of the local community that grew up there, we weren't too jumping for joy when the Hyatt, you know, was proposed and built there. But, you know, I think the dairy, the main thing is that I'm more concerned about the runoff of, you know, the waste that comes from the cows. If that is not a good soil type, that will not permeate through the ground and run off into the ocean or stream water, then be concerned. But there have to be tests. And, you know, once we get all the facts, then I think I can make my decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Arthur Broom, what initiatives would you propose to address Kauai's homeless problem?
Homeless. So first of all, what we need to do is we need to get us an alcohol and drug rehab here on island. And that'll help us with some of our homeless problem. Because as you look at it, a lot of this homeless, you know, they was brought there through drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and then some just moved in from the mainland, came here, and just lived on the side of the road somewhere. So we need to get more programs in. And first of all, we need to get an alcohol and drug rehab to help people get back on their feet and do more systems to help them out. With the homeless, let's bring something in. Like in Waimea and Russian Fort, there's a house there that they set up camp in the back, and there's electricity, there's running water, there's, you know, we need to do that kind of programs to help them out. I mean, they're homeless. We can't just look at them and step on them and let them go. Let's help them get back on their feet and get back into houses and give them the help that they need, and let's help our people here on the island. Thank you.
Thank you. Kipukai Kualii. The county manages 8 public parks within the Hanalei District, and most of them are in desperate need of repair and maintenance, including proper wastewater upgrades. How do you propose to help allocate appropriate funds to our much-needed, overused park facilities on the North Shore?
I think first and foremost, when it comes to funding, it's about priorities, and I think we need to be more fiscally responsible with our budgeting. And I can tell you that from my time on the council when I was there in budget process, I proved myself. You know, I asked the tough questions, and I would say we need to make the right choices, and we need to focus on our core services and programs. And the parks serve a dual purpose. I mean, it's part of the natural beauty of our island. It serves our people. Growing up here, we didn't have any money to travel anywhere on vacations. This was our vacation spot, our staycations, I guess they call it now. So enjoying the beaches for camping, Hanalei Bay. We came to Hanalei Bay all the time when we were kids, chasing the crabs at night, and up at Koke'e as well. So the county has to take better care of all our facilities and parks, both for the local people and for the tourists who also come and enjoy it. And it's about budgeting priorities.
Thank you. Errol Kaneshiro, recent views have heightened awareness of the inversion of salaries between employees and department heads in the key county positions, potentially impacting employees' desire to apply for higher positions. What are your thoughts on how this issue should be resolved?
You know, it is a scary thing because you want people to be paid fairly. You want them to be paid what they're worth, and when you have workers below you making more money than you, then there's no incentive for people to take these higher positions. And these higher positions are positions that are important to the county. They're critical to managing the county's So I mean, it's a scary thing. And I think what it comes down to, again, is fiscal responsibility. We got to get our budget intact to be able to pay higher wages if we need to administrators. But we can't do it if our budget is in flux.
Thank you. Tim Bynum, what do you see as the future for our agricultural industry on Kauai? What can we as an island do to help promote a viable agricultural business model for large and smaller farmers alike?
I've talked a lot about agriculture in the last couple of years, and we have gone through an unprecedented change of land use in agriculture. Land that was once used for production of a product, like cattle or sugar or flowers, is now being used as an experimental station that produces no product. Local farmers have lost their lands. Ranchers have lost their leases. We've made these changes virtually unregulated. And in the course, we discovered that there are many problems, problems with changes in land use that cause that affect our health and safety. So our future for agriculture is to grow more local product. It's just the priorities that our county has set to have our land in active producing a product for sale, for consumption, to grow more of our own local food. And we are headed in the opposite direction in reality. So we have to look at these truths, look at these facts, and make a clear analysis and not just listen to rhetoric that says things are, you know, that Tim Bynum's anti-agriculture and I want to turn things into the desert. That's not true.
Thank you. Mel Raposo, would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai, and why?
Great question. The I think I heard the state reps talk earlier about the monopolization of the air travel with Hawaiian Airlines, and I'm already blackballed by Hawaiian Airlines because I post a lot of nasty stuff on Facebook about them. But you know, the Super Ferry is not a bad thing. I will say that the process they used to get that thing through years ago was totally wrong. It was just something that should have never occurred, and you know, it took a potentially good idea and really made it bad. I don't know if we need the type of ship that they had. I don't know if we need these high powered military designed catamarans, power cats, but I would support some form of vessel that could transport our people between islands. We simply cannot continue on this path. It's not as simple as I heard some candidates will say, no, we got to bring another airlines. It doesn't work that way. Government cannot bring an airline. Thank you. I don't like this 1 minute.
Okay, congratulations. That's the end of round one. So that was a perfect way to end it. Yeah, round number two, Joanne Yukimura. If elected to the council, what would be your top two priorities that you'd wish to accomplish in your first year?
Are huge, but I would like to secure a sustained source of funding by which we can expand Kauai bus services. We have an excellent multimodal plan. We have a very dedicated transportation agency staff. What's missing is a funding source, and the plan will just stay on the shelf unless we have a funding source. And that's why on November 5th, there's a proposal to have a 0.5%, 0.75% excise tax earmarked for public transportation. And why am I doing it during election time? Because the mayors have already proposed one that would be used for anything, and it would harm the lower income families the most, whereas a earmark for public transportation would help them. The other thing I would do is establish a good policy for affordable housing. We have to look at perpetual affordability.
Thank you. Billy DaCosta, what do you see as the future for our agricultural industry on Kauai? What can we as an island do to help promote a viable agricultural business model for large and smaller farmers alike?
you know, I'm giggling right now as I look back at my colleague, Tamara Martin, who teaches with me, and we talk about this all the time up in Kokei with our kids. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 1.2 million people on Oahu. That's a viable market. We should be the world leaders in sustainable agriculture. And I agree, we need ag on the west side. We need those corn companies right now, just right now, not for longevity. We need to be growing grain corn, not seed corn. We need to have a feedlot where we can finish cattle instead of sending our wean-offs to the mainland. We need to be growing strawberries, maybe a moi farm on the west side. I have a vision that we can incorporate a student-to-learn program at the three different high schools. I did it with the mayor and the county, with Bernard and Brian Baptiste. When the county parks were damaged, we built tables at the high school level and we put them in each park. We had cleanup days where we took kids to build a pavilion and build a bathroom with students. Give me a chance on that council with adults, qualified adults, and see what I can do, see what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden. Recently, the council has reviewed several property tax relief initiatives. These initiatives have a direct effect on county revenues, causing a budget shortfall. How do you recommend the shortfall be resolved?
Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Sorry. I've been going to all the meetings. And I do like that right now there's been a stopgap, because some people were going to be almost pushed out of their homes or off the islands. There are a few that is that bad. So I appreciate that there was a stopgap. Is it perfect? No, it isn't. But is it better than what was? Yes. I appreciate that they're using a little bit of the extra funds to make up the difference rather than to be taxing the people who had a drop in it. But we need to work very hard this year to be looking at, like as Mason was saying, what our priorities are and really choose how we're going to be restructuring these taxes. And it needs to be uniform and not quite so difficult to manage. So it's a difficult problem to answer in 1 minute, but we need to look at it.
Thank you. Jay Fafaro. Would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai? And if so, why?
First of all, I think one of the other candidates said that the revival of this is a political shot. I do believe that the Super Ferry, as it looked on a return on investment or any kind of capital investment, is not obtainable. I think the focus really should be, and what started off to be, transportation to and from some of the neighbor islands for agricultural products. That's how it started off. And if you remember, we had the earthquake on the Big Island, which damaged all three piers. And the Kohala in North Hawaii need a way to get their agricultural products into that municipality of 1.2 million people and getting it to market. I think smaller regional airlines will be the answer to the monopoly that Hawaiian has, serving Molokai, Lanai, Honolulu, serving Kauai and Oahu. That's probably what we should be focusing on in a transportation plan, and not reviving the ferry for passenger service. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Hooser. Hawaii Dairy Farms is moving ahead with the Dairy and Kaloa plan. I want to shorten this one. This is a very long question, and I think you know it already. What will you do to ensure the community concerns are addressed about the dairy farm?
You know, this. I've met with the dairy on several occasions, the advocates, the developers. I've met with the Hyatt. I've met with the people in the Kaloa Community Association and the Malama Mahalupa people. I've studied the issue very closely, and it's very clear to me that there's some serious issues that have to be addressed before we allow such an intense operation. It's one thing to say that you support farming. It's another thing to say that you support a factory, basically. And the level of cow poop on that land day after day after day is incredible. If you look at the facts of this dairy, you would wonder yourself, how in the world is this effluent and poop going to be absorbed into the environment? The recent studies have shown about 60% of the soils is not suitable. It's clay-based. It doesn't soak in. Even if it does, it's fraught with problems. We need to look at it very closely and not just have a knee-jerk reaction to say, let's support agriculture. This milk is not for Kauai. The number of jobs, I think, is less than 20 jobs. And we cannot sacrifice our nearshore waters and our hotel industry and our environment just for these kinds of short-term gains. Thank you.
Thank you. Mason Chalk. The county manages 8 public parks within the Honolulu District, and most of them are in desperate need of repair and maintenance, including proper wastewater upgrades. Another poop question. How do you propose to help allocate appropriate funds to our much-needed, overused park facilities on the North Shore?
I used to use the poop, you know. anyhow, let me answer the question by saying that, you know, what I think I've seen in my lifetime is that our community can best take care of our community. And I would love to see the deregulation of a government in this arena to allow our community members, champions who we've already seen over years, who have taken care of our parks very well. You know, and some of them are, some of these parks are named after them. But the government, our county, can empower some of our community in order to take on some of this role. I believe this is one of the areas that it can start. I think if we can do that and allow people to take care of it and some of the kuleana, then we can spend the money on some of the different arenas in developing our parks needs in terms of infrastructure and expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ross Kagawa. Here in Princeville, there are several public access trails leading down to the ocean. 2 are the county's responsibility, Hideaways and Queen's Bath. The parking and trails are in very, very bad and dangerous condition, but virtually ignored by the county. KFD personnel are called upon to make rescues of both several times a year. Do you believe the council should take action to address this situation? And if so, what would be the appropriate action?
Well, I don't believe the council should initiate action. I believe the mayor should initiate action. We don't have the expertise nor the staff to know what needs to be done. And, you know, first I'd like to state that Queen's Bath is one of my favorite fishing spots. And, you know, I fish there every summer when the waves aren't too big. I also go fish down at Rock Quarry is another place I like to go. But, you know, so access is very important. It needs to be safe. There's a lot of tourists who, you know, they're not used to knowing when it's wet. It might be slippery and, you know, and we're open to liability. So, of course, we need to, you know, make those trails as safe as possible. But, you know, like anything else, I think, you know, we gotta know what's the cost, you know, before we enter something. And, you know, if not, we need to maybe find an alternate route. But as far as Queen's Bath, obviously, that's a very highly used trail. I think we should fix it up. It to me, it can be fixed maybe with adding some rock or whatnot instead of the mud, or, you know, in certain areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Arthur Brun. Everyone talks about needing change, that everything needs change and not being happy with the way things are. What do you think is currently working well for us?
Well, right now we know more too much working well for us. As you look on the council, we have 14 people up here, 20 filed to run for council. So if we was happy with how things were, you wouldn't have that much people. The last election only had 9 that came in for the election. So we need to make a lot of changes and get back to our roots, our values of the local people, and stop texting everybody out of their houses. Look at our county, how it's set up right now, and try to make changes. We have too much up above managers. You know, let's work with them. Let's fine-tune it. Let's get our budget back under control. And that's a big key one for us is our budget. We need to look at our budget and try to cut that so we can stop raising taxes and getting things that we do need, like drug rehabs and helping out the local people, helping out cleaning our parks. Get more workers in there. Get a lot of people who are going to actually work. Thank you.
Thank you. For you radio listeners, this is the North Shore. That's called rain. Our sound system's working fine. It's just the rain sometimes is as loud as everything else. Kipukai Kualii. Are you an advocate for the expansion of the Kauai bus routes and services, and do you support a North Shore shuttle from Princeville to Hanalei and out to KA?
Yes, I am an advocate for the support of the bus expanding, but only where it makes economic sense. So if there is the ridership and the support, of course. Our people need the alternative way of getting around. And the less cars on the road, the less traffic. So absolutely. But it's all of it, right? It's not just the bus. It's biking and walking and, you know, following our multimodal transportation plan. I do support the shuttle, again, if it makes economic sense and there'll be enough people using it, because I haven't been to Hyena in probably years, because the last couple of times I've been there, there's nowhere to park. So the shuttle's a good idea, and I think...
We cannot pretend like we have this power over collective bargaining. It's simply not going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. End of round two. We're doing great. Everyone's really netting it out. So on to round three. Do we need a little stretch at all, or just... a minute to stretch your arms, no longer than that, or stand up? Yeah, let's roll. Okay. That was a good stretch. Thank you, honey, for doing that. You were the only one that took the suggestion and did your stretching, but you're a yoga teacher. Okay, Joanne Yukimura. Here in Princeville, there are several public access trails leading down to the ocean. Hideaways, Queen's Bath, blah, 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 blah. We have had many injuries on those trails and down to the beaches. What action do you think should be taken, if any, about them?
Well, I think the county needs to work with the community to figure out how to create safe access with adequate parking or with shuttles. And then we need to fund it and do it. So I think that's what we need to do. I want to say something about collective bargaining, because it's not true that the council has no power over collective bargaining. All collective bargaining agreements are approved by the council. We could choose not to. It's very hard, but, you know, the police they're now starting at $60,000 a year for beginning police, and $102,000 for captains, and we can't keep just adjusting the management levels to accommodate that. They had 6% compounded interest while other workers were having 5% cuts and furloughs. So something has to be done about the relationships, or we're headed for Detroit.
Thank you. Billy DaCosta. Recently, the council has reviewed several property tax relief initiatives. These initiatives have direct effect on county revenues, causing a budget shortfall. How do you recommend the shortfall be resolved?
I'm going to answer this question. I'm not going to go to another question and make me look good. I'm going to tell you guys one thing. You need business-minded people with education running your county. Your county is a business. You want to build a bridge? Get an engineer. You want to win a lawsuit? Get a lawyer. You want to run a county out of the red? You get business-minded people. I have a bachelor's degree in economics. I see up here to my right, Arrow has accounting. Ross has accounting. Mason has business management. Get people on staff. We need to cut taxes. We cannot sloppily run our county. Raising taxes is a sloppy way to run your county. Initiatives to draw different types of revenue. Trim from the top. My goodness, you have a chief making 60 grand and a police captain making 106. Myself, I make 42,000 and I teach your kids. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Let's trim. Let's manage our county budget like our checkbook. You got money coming in, let's spend it. You don't have money, let's not spend. That's Billy DaCosta's version. Thank you.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden. Recent news has heightened awareness of the inversion of salaries between employees and the department heads in key county positions, potentially impacting the desire to apply for higher positions. What are your thoughts on how this issue should be resolved?
Well, I feel like we've had some really good answers to that, looking at the collective bargaining agreements, looking at the budget. I've spent a lot of time paying attention to that, and it really is incredible. Even when we're looking at the comparison, the council members make half the amount of what the staff do, right? And different department heads. So it is out of balance, and the collective bargaining agreements are a big part of it, and it does look difficult. But we've had a lot of suggestions, whether it's laying people off or changing it. It's It's a challenge, and we have to, and I'm in agreement with Billy. These questions get recycled so much that I'm in agreement with him that it does take a business look. I had 18 years as free enterprise, and you just cannot run a business the way the county is done. You cannot, and it has to change. Now, the county, I disagree that it's totally a business. There's business element to it, but government pays for what the people can't do. We need it to not pay for what the people won't do. And I think that that's where the core problem is.
Thank you. Jay Fafaro, what do you see as the future for our agricultural industry on Kauai, and what can we do as an island to help promote a viable agricultural business model for large and smaller farmers alike?
Well, I wish I would get a finance question, because after running Sheraton Waikiki and the Princess Kailani, which has budgets bigger than the county of Kauai, I could correct some misconception here. But it starts with the state and their lands with ADC. They have all of these lands that are available, and they've got to realize that they can enter into agreements with bona fide farmers that they can do long-term leases. Because these farmers are having difficulties making improvements to their farm when they're only getting leases that are good for a year. I mean, how can you finance a fence for 20 acres of land when you can't prove to the finances of the bank that you're going to have the longevity to be able to earn money from your farm to then in turn pay the loans? That's something that the state has to get very close to, and I have had some correspondence to that effect with that. That is where we have to start, and then we need to make sure that we have ways to get product to market. Thank you.
Gary Hooser, if you could make two or three changes to the county council to make it more effective, what would the changes be?
The main change, as I sit here listening, is a lot of talk about budgets. And working at the state level, the state, we pass a two-year budget and a six-year financial plan. Come to the county, and it's 1 year at a time, so it's everything's kicking the can down the road. That's something immediately we need to change. We need to have at least a two-year budget and a four-year financial plan instead of putting these big expenses off to the next year so they don't show up in the budget. That'll give us a real, tangible look at our long-term budget needs and allow us to plan accordingly. The second change I would make, I think I would look at each of the council members. We have some really smart, hardworking, good people in the Kauai County Council. And look at each council member and see, how do you bring out the best in those council members? You know, Council Member Bynum, for example, is a brilliant guy. You know, we just reduced taxes. We capped homeowner taxes at $250 this past year. So there's no big increases. And that came because Council Member Bynum spoke to the administration, came back to the council. We introduced a measure to do that along with the administration, and we had unanimous support. But it was because of the good people, and that's what I would focus on. Thank you.
Thank you. Mason Chalk. Everyone talks about needing change and not being happy with the way things are today. What do you think is currently working well for us?
Thank you. Change is it's a hard thing. Sometimes it hurts, painful. But without change, without some of that pain, without some of that uncomfortableness, we never get to the real outcomes that we're seeking. That's what growth is about. That's what we need to support. And we can do that. In fact, some people grumble about and what they see in terms of what they're calling divisiveness at the council. What I see are people having difficult conversations in an uncomfortable situation. Yeah? And the only difference to me that can change is how people do that. And if we model how we can do that and have these difficult conversations in a productive way that is respectful with a lot of aloha, I see some people now, they will hug each other at the end of the meeting. That's great. That's what I want to see. Have the difficult conversations, stay in the room until we get a solution that's better than we ever thought we could have for win-win solutions, and do it respectfully. We don't need to damage each other. We don't need to go after each other with specific words or utilizing other people's words against them to make their argument. We can do this better. Thank you.
Thank you. Ruskagawa, if elected to the council, what would be your top two priorities that you would wish to accomplish in your first year?
Well, you know, my top priority has always been our budget, which is out of whack. Four to 5 years ago, we had $50 million in our savings or surplus. Today, the county is broke. So don't let these council members tell you everything is okay, because everything is not okay. If we were okay, we would not be broke. We spent $50 million that we shouldn't have spent. And now we got to tax everything in the world. including your car registration fees, vehicle weight tax, gas tax, tipping fee, property taxes. We're taxing you on everything. Why? Because we didn't control our expenses 4 to 5 years ago, and now we're in this mess. And we're not alone. The federal government, what are they? $18 trillion in deficit? That's 18 million million. The state government, they're $11 to $13 billion in deficit if they paid off their employees' retirement system. So the economy, we're doing our best. Right now, we're only $8 million in the hole, but it's still bad.
Thank you. Arthur Brune, the White Dairy Farms. You know the questions. I say, what would you do to it? What's your position on the dairy, and what would you do?
Dairy farm. I support the dairy farm. Do I support it where it's at? Didn't really look at all the facts. I heard some facts came out that there ain't good sippage there. But we need to do a study on it and to see where we need to put it. But do we need a dairy? We definitely need a dairy. You know, it's going to help keep milk here on island, get our own local milk here. You know, we do need a dairy. Do we need it there? I don't know. I didn't even look at the study. But I say, you know, yes, we definitely need a dairy. And if it's in Poipu or in Molawa or in Kipu or someplace, yes, let's look forward. Let's get this dairy. Let's do a study on it and get the facts about what's going to happen with the poo from the poo. And it's what's going to happen with it. And let's do a study on it so we can figure it out instead of jumping in the air and getting a knee-jerk reaction. Let's do a study and get all the facts before we make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Kipukai Kualii, what initiatives would you propose to address Kauai's homeless problem?
First of all, I think we as a society need to see homelessness and care about it the same way we care about education, health, and the environment. And it's very clear that the homeless need our help, and yet, you know, the homeless addict needs a treatment, like Arthur was talking about, but they all need housing. And at a minimum, our three branches of government should be working together to ensure that our homeless veterans receive assistance. So I had the privilege of working with Voices of Kauai, who are advocates for the homeless, and I went to a meeting with the mayor with them, and they asked the mayor to step in and help. And what they're asking of business and government is not to lock their bathrooms or charge fees. They asked that Kauai Economic Opportunity not deny anyone service. And most importantly, they asked that we all start taking away the stigmas and labels and titles of ownership and economic status so that we see that we're all the people of Kauai needing to work together and support one another.
Thank you. Errol Kaneshiro, the county manages 8 public parks in this Hanalei district. How do you propose to help allocate appropriate funds to our much-needed overused parks?
Again, you probably heard it a lot tonight, but it does come down to priorities. The county only has so much money to do what they want to do. I mean, if we want to do the best parks in the world, we could, but it's going to cost the taxpayers. So ultimately, it comes down to priorities. How well do we prioritize our parks? How much money is going to go to it? Which parks need the most work? The other thing would be to try and make the best parks in the world, but we'd have to increase our taxes, which I know we probably don't want to do. So it all comes down to prioritizing the budget and becoming fiscally responsible.
Thank you. Tim Bynum, would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai?
You know, when I first heard about the Super Ferry, like a lot of you, I went, oh, this will be great. This will be really good for us. And then I started thinking about, well, what about invasive species? What about, oh, but that's okay. They're going to do big harbor improvements, so they'll have to do an EIS. An EIS is an environmental impact statement that looks at those issues and decides how to mitigate it. But you know what? Governor Lingle decided the shortcut, and it never happened. So I think the Super Ferry had a chance at viability, but we blew it by not following the law. You know, when the Super Ferry happened, I wrote an op-ed piece. You can see it on my website, which basically said, hey, we have to follow the law. And those protesters who acted inappropriately and didn't follow the rules of good protests, I was pretty unhappy with them as well. And so, you know, Super Ferry, we need alternatives to transportation, but the business model that the Super Ferry had is unlikely to be recreated here in Kauai in the future. That's just the truth.
Thank you. Mel Raposo, what do you see as the biggest issue harming Kauai's economy?
The biggest issue harming Kauai's economy, I think it's just the unfriendly business climate. I think Arrow talked about that earlier. It's very difficult to run a business here. The other thing, too, is because tourism is such a huge part of our economy, we got to make sure that we treat our visitors right when they get here. And that means the parks has to be clean. Today, I served papers, probably served some of you over the last 20 years. We serve good papers, too. But I stopped at the Koloa Park restroom, and this was probably, it was in the morning, and it was horrible. A tourist goes in there, and they go back, and they tell all their friends and family. So, I mean, we gotta create a business environment, business climate that's fair. I have a business. I had 6 employees. Now it's just down to me again. That's why I'm serving papers out in Koloa. But it is what it is, and it's tough. And it's very difficult with the county to do, but we can control, and that's the environment here. Thanks.
Thank you. And that's the end of round 3. Now, I have a question for this group. I have a question for both sides of this group. We have a couple more rounds we could do just the way we are and going through the same questions. Or we could choose to say that was a very good structure to go through and open it up to questions from the audience that you would direct to individual members. Could I just see a show of hands of on either side, would you prefer to shift and some impromptu take questions from the audience?
Sure.
Joanne?
I actually would like to suggest a process that we used in Lihue, where council members would choose some questions to answer. I think you would get different viewpoints on those questions.
So you're saying going around the group, and you would choose a question to answer to the...
A question that has already been asked, so it would be a discussion.
I have a comment. I would like to see the community. You know what? Give us from your mind. Let's see how sharp we are up here. Let's see the paper or the mind. Let's go. Right here.
So
know who you're voting for.
The rule for this, it sounds like we're going to go that way, and I'm sorry for throwing the oddball in, but I thought it was maybe good for a change-up. We're going to have 1 minute response time. So the timers are still active, as I saw Michelle put those away. We're not off of it yet.
Process question. One question from the audience, and each of us gets to answer it?
No, one question from the audience directed at a candidate, and they answer it. Oh, do you want to have the one question from the audience and have the...
Well, no. That's the issue.
If they want to ask me a question, do I just sit here on the rest of the minute?
The person raised their hand, we won't stick it over.
Okay.
Nice.
Or maybe when it's got a number that you go to, like, choose next, so then people would ask her a question.
Okay. In fact, maybe we do this. That's a great... that we go right in order and say, who has a question for Joanne Yukimura? Okay, who has a question?
Oh. So once one category of a question is asked from the audience, let's not repeat the same question over and over. There's some really good questions that we have that I would like to not just reiterate, you know, one thing and beat it into the ground. We have some process.
Yeah, let's.
Can I have
yes.
A
yeah. Okay, so. This is the first question. It's going to go to Joanne Yukimura. Do I see anybody that would like to ask a question of her? Yes.
I would like to ask a question. What is the concept to her as sustainability, and what is her reference to sustainability?
Well, thank you for the question. Sustainability has been in its really rigorous form.
has been done by scientists around the world, and they came out with four conditions of sustainability. One, that you don't, the processes you use for life do not take from under the Earth's crust and throw it indiscriminately into the environment, which is why Stanford University, I think, has decided not to invest anymore in fossil fuels. The second condition is to not degrade the Earth's capacity to produce food and other needs. So the degradation of our forests and the condition of global warming, that's the other condition. And then the third condition, let me think about that, but the fourth condition is a social one, that everybody is included in the benefits and that we don't exploit certain people for other so that so many people can be sustained while others get hurt. Sorry about the third one.
Thank you very much. Who has a question for Billy? No. Who has a question for Billy DaCosta? David.
I like the way you answered your questions, and something touched kind of a thread, and that is Habitat for Humanity is a way that...
Aloha, this is Walter Becker, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, commercial free radio on Kauai.
Dig it. Other things in our areas. Because what's happened is everybody's against everybody, and this would seem to bring everybody together.
Okay, I'm taking a different approach to this answer. I'm going to tell you what I've already done, not what I can do. What I can do is a cheap way to get your vote. At Waimea High School, I was a construction-based academy teacher for 3 years before I was moved up to Koke'e. We worked with Brian Baptiste and Bernard Cavallo, and we built picnic tables for county parks. We also made DLNR natural wood core signs. We got the log from Koke that was already down, fall down. We cured it. We sent it to the chiefest middle school kids. We cut the letters out. It's down there at the Waimea Harbor. We have one up in Koke. We have a concrete sign that we made for, what is that, business in the west side. Anyway, we took kids out of the classroom to build products that are real in a community. How about having high school carpenter kids in an internship program that can work on habilitat for houses for our local people? How's that one? Built by kids in a construction-based academy, carpenter kids. When they get out of school, if they're ready to enter the construction academy at KCC, give them the job. If they're lazy, they got to go back another year. Thank you.
Thank you. Who has a question for Felicia Cowden? Yes.
Well, I always like the idea of out creating a problem. And so somewhat on the person who asked that question, actually, is an example of a citizen who comes forward with a good crop. So he's got a crop called Knaf. I don't know if you were actually asking that, but I'm answering it. And this is a crop that can be grown for seed here on the island, and it is bioregenerative. It bioremediates the soil. It uses very little water. There's a number of places that it could be placed. So this creates another opportunity. There's vertical industry that can be built off of that. So if we look for solutions, I'd rather build a new idea than to fight one that doesn't work. So there's a lot of places where that can happen, and it eases the tension. So we bring something up that's good before we start changing things that need changing. Or we can do them both at the same time. But that's just one small example that I'm actually really excited about.
Thank you. Who has a question for Jay Fafaro? Yes, in the back.
Jay, how can we take care of all the traffic that we got to go through every day, population growth? Can we do something about the island is obviously overcrowded. We never get traffic like this before. Now, look what we got to go through. Take us 1 hour to go to Kapaa sometimes. What can we do to take this problem?
OK.
Okay. Kaylee, thank you very much. I also want to say congratulations on your fishing agenda for the Fardian. Excellent job. The real transportation plan that has been touched on today, there is a master plan, and it should also include employees that are coming from the Kapaa area to work on the North Shore, that they have access to work employment, and then also the park and ride that perhaps could be up here in the Princeville area, which is serviced by a shuttle out to the Hanalei-Haena area, is a start. I also know this is a very challenging question for a lot of people, but we have households that own more than three cars. And one of the very difficult things, you know, I've never been really happy with the tax plan. That's why I introduced the cap, trying to give time. But we should have looked at registration of vehicles and having a tiered rate so people would be less incentivized by adding cars and then expanding transportation with the bus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Who has a question for Mason Chalk?
Mason, what could you do as a council member to encourage more partnerships and more collaboration with nonprofits or other organizations in this county that are willing to work together with government to get things improved and done?
Good. As we look around this nation, this world, there are some models that are coming together about what I call collective impact. And that's about how it is we don't duplicate services and how it is we all can agree upon the things that are most important and share resources. I think that those things are already started. We have one of those initiatives started called Keiki to Career. We spent a year trying to figure out what it is we're going to focus on. And two things came up, sustainability, that question, and also education. And what we've been working on is what it is we can do to support a child from the time they're born until the time they get into a job here on this island, to thrive on this island. And it coordinates peoples, our community and the peoples, the different resources, nonprofit, private, government, all of the stakeholders taking off their hats but contributing to what they can offer on a larger level. So take away your role, but give your power to what it is we all can agree upon. I think those models are what we're going to see in the future in order to address our biggest social needs. And I think that you can do that in almost any environment.
Thank you. Who has a question for Ross Kagawa? Yes.
Oh. this past 2 years, a lot of time and effort has been spent demonizing the agriculture industry on the west side. And once they had a workable voluntary agreement for political reasons, that issue is still ridden and whipped and whipped. I'm frustrated of the lost opportunity costs that happened because of, and how, what ways can public-private partnerships happen with the West Side industry? What opportunities can we design to build a bridge to the future that we want, which is cover crops between the crops? How can we direct agriculture and build a bridge to a sustainable future without shooting ourselves in the foot or the head in our process to get there for political short-term gain?
Okay, I'm going to try to repeat this because for the radio, we have a problem that you don't have a microphone, so the radio can't hear it. But boy, that was the one I didn't want to have to repeat. So it really comes down to what can we do in the agricultural environment to be productive,
to a better sustainable
agricultural future.
Kill agriculture, and there's a downturn in the economy, the exact opposite thing that we want is going to happen. The only viable industry will be low-income housing and homeless housing construction, yeah. And the ag lands will get built on. So a counterproductive...
Let's give Ross the chance to...
I'm
Actually, you know, had a house in Waimea Valley for 12 years, so I'm right there in, you know, ground zero for, you know, the complaints coming from Pioneer Seed. And, you know, have they been the best neighbor in regards to controlling dust? I don't think so. But, you know, they have a class action lawsuit, and now, you know, when you have a class action lawsuit against a company, you know, how willing are they going to be to, you know, work with the residents who are filing a lawsuit? So that's part of the problem. And I think the lawsuit is going to uncover, you know, the results of who's right or wrong on that issue. So I really hope they pursue that lawsuit and speed it up. You know, as far as Big Ag, you know, we had Big Ag on the west side for as long as I lived there, you know, as from the 60s. And, you know, I lived two houses away from the sugar plantation. I had a lot of dust from them, you know, but that was a way of life. You know, as far as the key results we need is we need to get the actual testing. You know, when we had a molasses spill and fish were dying in Honolulu, we had the EPA and FDA all down the next day. If people are getting sick and dying, let's get their names, let's get their evidence, and let's get the EPA and FDA down here tomorrow. But we need evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Who has a question for Arthur Brunn? Please. So the question is, this is another poop question, which we're doing really well, and it seems to be the quantity of poop from sheep to dairy cows. Am I close?
Yeah. How's it going to tell? Okay, I understand where you're coming from, and that's why we need to do the study, because I think the problem is they're looking at the soil doesn't drain good. And also, the hotel doesn't want it there. And like Ross said earlier, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't want to hire it there when they first moved there. There's a lot of people that don't want new things coming in. So this is just an avenue to make the dairy look, you know, really bad in a certain way. So, I mean, let's get facts. Let's bring facts to the table. And if we have facts, hey, let's work on the facts. We cannot afford another lawsuit with non-facts, without facts of what's going on. And that's the key word, is facts. I mean, not just opinions, because I hate this, I hate that. So I don't want the dairy here, I don't want this there. I mean, we need more agriculture. We need it here. Let us work with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Who has a question for Kipukai Kualii?
Yes. Make this the last question, because we need to give everyone at least a minute for
a closing, yes. Quit. Oh, okay.
I'm sitting here for you.
this council, the city council now, is about to vote on the shoreline exemption, the shoreline setback exemption, which will allow, you currently have a 100-foot shoreline exemption on Rocky Shorelines, and this exemption would allow houses to move to 40 feet to the Rocky Shore from the lot. And it looks as though by the previous vote that might pass. My question is to you,
so the question is regarding the shoreline setback issue, and if it were passed, how would that serve the people of Kauai? Yes, thank you.
First and foremost, I'm all for protecting our shorelines, for its beauty, for its recreational use, for its local sustenance, for fishing and gathering. I think we have plenty places to build homes, and I don't think we need to decrease the setback. I need to know more. I need all the information that the council had and hear the testimony so that I know, you know, have more information. But my initial reaction, just based on valuing the resources of our aina for our people, you know, not just for the tourists who come, but for people, and not just for the recreational use, but for the local sustenance and you know, gathering of food and all of that. So I would have to say that my initial reaction is that I would not support that change, because I don't think it would serve the people. I think the people can build houses in dense areas, leave the open space open, protect our shorelines, and all of that. Keep Kauai, Kauai, I guess.
Thank you. So, you want one more?
Okay.
Yeah, I know that's true. I was getting pressed to go to the closing statements, but absolutely, who has a question for Gary Hooser?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bertie Griffith,
and would you support a city manager form of government?
The question is, would I support a city manager form of government for Kauai? Right? That's the question. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to say yes, but I haven't worked out the details. I actually started working on this issue, and it gets complicated. There's a lot of really good ideas, and then you start working out the details. What powers would the city manager have? Would the city manager appoint planning commissioners, fire commissioners, police commissioners? You know, what exact authority they would have, and what kind of changes would you need to make to the charter to affect that? But I believe it's a question that needs to be put on the charter so the people can decide. I really do. I think we're a small enough community. We need to take the politics out of managing our day-to-day business. We have good 7 solid members on the council. You know, I praised Councilmember Bynum earlier, but each of us up here have a lot to bring to the table, and we're in a small community. And if we could have a council that respects diversity, that makes thoughtful decisions, they can make those decisions working with the city manager. And then we still have a mayor that would go out and do the functions that the mayor does. But the city manager is important. You get someone with a degree who's done this before and who has a track record. Yes, thank you.
One last question.
I'd like to ask another question.
Okay. We will extend and we will go complete through the list. I'm sorry, we're going to push on. So, Errol, that's where we were stopped at, right? Who has a question for Errol Kenoshiro? Oh, boy, lots of them. Green shirt.
Yeah, that's our first one. Nice to meet you tonight. And I'm really pleased to meet you. Please correct me on the details, but I believe you're employed by Grove Farm as an agricultural leasing manager, basically. And among the tenants of Grove Farm are Dallas and Jet. And I'm wondering if you're on the council, well, what is your relationship to these companies, and would you recuse yourself in any issues before the council?
Errol, can you repeat it?
So it basically comes down to a conflict of interest question. I work at Grove Farm. We lease to the seed guys. If something comes up regarding the seed companies, will I recuse myself? And that's a great question, because I've heard people talk about it before. And yeah, definitely. My number one priority is Kauai and what's best for Kauai. And if I'm compromised by my position, and of course there's a board of ethics also that I can go to, and they'll be able to tell me, you know, you have a direct conflict of interest on this particular matter, so you're gonna have to sit out. So it's a great question, and yeah, you know, I'm all open to doing what's best for the island. And if my position is compromised because I have a direct relationship with an issue that we're doing on council, I'll go to the Board of Ethics and let them decide, tell me whether I can or cannot sit on it. Thanks.
Thank you. Do I have a question for Tim Bynum? Yes, Mary.
Hi, Tim. Actually, my question is for everybody, but I wanted to get it in there.
Tim, could you repeat it?
Our roads are done by Lyle Tabata and Larry Dill, and Ed Renault is our roads manager.
Excuse me, Tim, can you repeat the question for the
Yes, the question was, it seems that county workers take a long time to get the road work done, and it could happen quicker. I don't disagree with that, but I will give you a perspective and say that a couple of years ago, Larry Dill came in, and a lot of dialogue was like, you know what, let's quit just patching the roads, slapping them. Let's do it right. Let's do the underlaying, get the road work that's done, so when we repave it, we do it right. We dress the edges correctly so it's safe. And they decided, and we weren't happy at the council, all of us, they weren't going to pave any roads the next year. They were going to wait and get their act together and then do more all at once. What I want to report is that how the roads get paved now, where they get paved, is being decided by engineers based on the condition of the roads, not by politicians who say, I want this road done, or a mayor that says, I want this road done, which is the way it used to be. And, you know, all of us on the council agreed that that's not the way to go. We need to put the managers in charge. So I think you're going to see a lot more roads happen a lot quicker and being done properly. So a lot of good things happening in the county, and this is one of them.
Thank you. Question for Mel Raposo.
Yes.
The backbone, I think, of our economy is small business, small farms. It's been said that this is not a conducive climate for businesses. What can be done to promote small business, mom-and-pop stores, that would help our island?
Well, unfortunately, the bigger problems come from the state. You know, the state requirements for business, your taxes and work comp and medical and all of those things that just put a big burden on small businesses. But what the county can do to assist the farmers is where you incentivize the first-time farmers or the new farmers that want to start learning how to farm, and you do that through either tax incentives, tax breaks, cheaper water. You know, we don't control the water department. That's like Kauai's moratorium is the water department. But their rates are outrageous. And if you want to start a farm, you want to bring in water, it's almost impossible today. So there's a lot of things the county can do, not the council, but I think that, again, the environment to have a small business here, whether it's farming or a mom-and-pop store, property tax would be, I think, the extent of what we could do. Make it, and again, 1 year, 18 months, or 2 years to help get them off the ground.
Thank you. Thank you. So now we're at the closing statements, right? Everyone got a chance to have a question asked. So Joanne Yukimura, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you, the sponsors, and to Rory and all who have made this democracy in action possible. My life's work has been to make life better on Kauai, both in and out of office. When I was out of office, I was on the organizing board that started KIUC, and we're the only electric cooperative in the account, in the state. I've made life better not by vague promises, but by a lot of hard work and a lot of skill and working with community in making things happen, from sunshine markets to complex legislation like farm worker housing, vacation rentals, barking dogs. And I see need and possibility before most do. I want to continue working for you and with you. I feel like we have a lot of work to do, and my experience and vision and commitment will be a good part of the mix. So I ask that you consider me, put your X next to the Y, and vote Yukimura for council. Mahalo.
Thank you. Billy DaCosta.
Okay, I'm going to run through a vision of Kauai in the next 25 years. Farm to live before a large landowner can develop public housing for people with money. They have to set aside farm to live acreage where people without a home can go on the farm, lease the land, grow products 3 hours a day. They have a regular job before they go to farm. Houses prefab built by high school kids, failing rate at Waimea High School, Kapaa and Kauai School, got over 20% failing. Have them into a construction-based academy, work to graduate program. Organic dairy. If the dairy is too big in Mahalepu, let's move it to a state piece of land across Hanapepe Heights. The state leases land to Robinson. Why are we leasing land to a company or the landowner who owns 58,000 acres? I talked to Gia about that. Gia told me, executive order, we could have the dairy up on top of Hanapepe Heights Mountain. When you guys pass Hanapepe Town, look across the gulch. Up there, there's a couple thousand acres of land. That's our state land. Drive to Waimea. You got seed companies growing corn seed. Let's grow grain corn. Let's have a feedlot where we can keep our local cattle here. Try go buy a grass-fed steak from Princeville Ranch. It's $20. Let's marbleize our own meat. Let's have our cattle here. Billy DeCosta, don't be silly. Vote for Billy.
Thank you. Felicia Cowden.
Hi. I want to thank everybody for coming here and for those people who've been listening. 1 minute is too short to really be able to do justice to some selection of questions. I would like to ask people, if you were to look at www.FeliciaCowden.com, I have a little video in there, a little bit more to learn about me. On the North Shore here, you know, I was honored to be in the first place in both Hanalei and Kilauea. I thank everybody deeply for that, and you all know me. I've been spending so much time from Hanamaulu to Kekaha through this council race, and I have really, really appreciated learning the perspectives of that side, and it's a lot harder than learning it from this side. So I ask people who are listening to check me out on the web. This Thursday we're having a mahalo party at Lydgate Park at 6 o'clock. Everyone's invited. It should be a wonderful place to really talk story. John Cruz is playing the music.
Thank you. Jay Fafaro.
Yes, thank you for all for being here. I just want to touch on a couple pieces. First and foremost, in the Hanalei area, I'm very proud of the fact that my work has made Hanalei Valley a special treatment cultural area. The fact that I worked very hard on the acquisition of the land for Black Pot. I also want to share with you, this was very tough financially through this period. But our budget is balanced. It couldn't be balanced by charter. We have very few deferrals in liabilities in this county. I also want to let you know that part of the problem was also revenues. We lost $27 million from the TAT cap. We are also going to be capped an additional $18 million in this next section for 2 years. That makes hard times. Federal government is cutting back on our housing allowance. So don't let a balance sheet scare you. We just got to work very hard. And this group has pointed out a lot of options to get us where we were. We have an $8 million surplus, and we're giving $1.9 million in tax relief. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Hooser.
Yeah, I want to thank you all again for being here tonight, but more importantly to me, for allowing me to serve you these past years. Again, it's just, you know, I wake up every morning thanking God that I can do what I do. It's really a fulfilling. People say sometimes it's a thankless job, but it's not a thankless job for me. I appreciate the opportunity. And as you leave tonight, you know, I'm asking for your vote. I'm asking you to consider the type of council you would like to see serving you. And I would like to think that you want a council that reflects your community, that reflects our island community, a diverse council. A council of diverse opinions, of diverse experience, women, men, old or young. And look at that in a council that'll pursue thoughtful deliberation, that'll listen, that'll do their homework, and that are willing to make the hard decisions and work together and respect each other, even if we have differing opinions. And that's the kind of council I want to work with and serve on. And with your help and support and your one vote, I'll be able to do that. Thank you all very much. Aloha.
Thank you. Mason Chalk.
I see Kauai as a model for other places around the world of sustainability of our culture, our resources, and our economy. And that's going to take us hitting a tipping point on this island, yeah, to affect change. And when I talk about that, I mean fix mindsets. I've been working in leadership development for 17 years. Our company is focused on change, social change in government, business, and education. And that's why I left Leadership Kauai after 5.5 years, in order to change affecting 20 students to up to 1,200 students now at Kapaa High School in a four-year program. We affect every single child in this four-year program. Why am I here at the council? Because government is our focus. I've been asked for years to join on the council. I said it's going to happen from the outside. Standing alongside and teaching with our teachers in our classrooms, 40-1, next to them, taught me that you got to get in the trenches to figure out how to make change occur. And that's what I've done in the last 12 months, or close to 12 months, at the council. And this is what I know I can contribute.
Thank you. Ross Kagawa.
Thank you. You know, with
our current budget, you know, we have a $6 million surplus, he said, but we gave away $1.9 million, so that we make that $4 million. But we have $9 million in projected pay raises for next year. We can't get away from. So if you minus the 9 minus the 4, what, do the math. That's $5 million in the hole. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not, you know, hiding behind the reality and letting the taxpayers know where we are at. I don't want to paint a picture that is not true. And, you know, that's what scares me. We can either be like the federal government. We can just print money. And who cares about that $18 trillion? Just let that go up by a trillion every year. We can be like the state government. Let's do a 30-year mortgage for our $11 to $13 billion deficit. So that will make our kids on the hook for our mistakes. Or we can be the county. We can be new. We can be different. We can pay our own bills. We can balance our budget. We can create a surplus with our money. Let's not follow the state. Let's not follow the federal. They're screwing up.
Thank you. Arthur Brune.
Thank you all for hanging out over here tonight, driving all the way out to Princeville. Brochures on the back. You can reach me at Brune for Council is my website. Phone number is 652-7469. Friends of Arthur Brune at gmail.com. Let's sit down. Let's talk story. Let's, you know, figure out what we got. Things that I can bring. I mean, we don't care about what I did yesterday or 1 year ago or 2 years ago. It's not going to help you coming up in the future. You know, we need to look what we can do in the future to help you, us, the people, stay out of debt. What's happening right now is we're taxing everybody so much with our land tax that people that want to keep their houses in their family for the rest of their life, they can't. They can't afford to pay the taxes anymore. So they got to sell in order to pay the taxes. Look at the Haraguchi family in Hanalei Valley. They got to sell to pay the $20,000 taxes. You know, let's look at it. Let's figure out what we can do to keep our people here on island. Make jobs so that people can come back from college. Thank you.
Thank you. Kipukai Kuali.
Mahalo to all the organizers and to all of you for showing up and listening in. My only promise to you is that I will listen carefully, think independently, and work hard to be of service to all the people. And that promise is based on my devotion to family and community, my respect and appreciation for our many cultures, and my genuine concern for others and for making a difference. I'm committed to working together positively and focusing on fiscally responsible budgeting, fixing our broken tax system, creating more jobs, improving core services, and protecting our aina, especially for our agricultural and sustenance lifestyles. My time away of working in government and on economic and social justice taught me to respect and value the diversity of community and struggle. It also taught me to make difficult decisions and achieve goals. My desire to serve you was so strong that it brought me back home over 10 years. I'm confident that I have the experience, leadership, and dedication that qualifies me to be an ideal choice for you in the next election, in this election.
Thank you. Errol Canashiro.
First off, I just want to thank all of you for being here. I care about this island and I care about this future. That's why I'm running. If you see on my signs, it says homegrown sensibility. Homegrown. Born and raised here. Family's been here for generations. I understand the workings of the island. Community, culture, agriculture, development, business, sensibility. These are things that my group has said sensibility is. Humble, respectful, confident, educated. This is what I bring to you guys. I'm a CPA, I'm a rancher, and I look forward to serving the county if you guys are willing. Also, if you want to see what 400 sheep looks like, just let me know. But I humbly ask for your vote, and thank you guys for staying out here. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim Bynum.
Hi, I'm Tim Bynum, and I've been a council member for almost 8 years, and it's really been my pleasure to serve. Before that, I worked with Mayor Baptiste, so I've seen government from both sides. I've never really been an insider. My signs say community first. You don't see many signs this year. I didn't buy any new ones. But community first means I try to focus on what's best for the people who live and work here. We want to have balance and this be a great place for business, but that's not the first priority. The first priority are the people that live and work here. This year, I've never seen so much rhetoric that's different from reality. The reality is in the public record.
some of that that's important to me is on timbynum.com, where you can look about these issues. You know, but it's a nature that we talk about the big issues, but lots going well. Our planning department's never been better. Public Works and Planning are working together. Our housing agency has always been dynamic and is doing really wonderful things. You know, there's a lot happening good in government. The question about roads, thanks for that, because I think you're going to see a big difference over the next couple of years with the new leadership that we have in these departments. I'm proud of my work on those and other issues. Aloha.
Thank you. Mel Raposo.
I got to do this real quick. My first run for office, 1998. The forums was just like this one. Same questions, same answers, same everything. Nothing changes. This is the reality. Every year you hear, every 2 years you hear the same things from all of us. You know, we got to do this, we got to do that. And what we got to do is we got to get it done. That's what we have to do. We got to go back to the core functions of government and not deal with things outside of our expand or whatever we can control. We got to worry about our parks. We got to go back to the core functions of government. And that's what we need to do. And we need a council that agrees on that so that we can get back to the roads and the parks, public safety, public health. That's what we got to get to. Get to the issues that we control directly and get our butts out of court. We don't need to be there. It's so draining and it's so tiring and it's just frustrating. Let's do what we're supposed to do, local government, fixing the roads and putting up streetlights where we're supposed to and what we used to do back in the old days. And we don't do that anymore. We're spending our time unwisely, and we need to go back to our core functions. Thank you. And I need your vote.
Thank you. Well, we've come to that point in the evening where we're going to wrap it up. I'd like to really thank all the candidates for being here, for being flexible enough to take a shift in the agenda midway, a change up. And I'd really like to thank all of you for being here, as well as the radio listeners who are participating. Drive safely.